The Sultan of Sizzle. The Titan of Toastiness. The Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones. Those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard. They have the backyard. Because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, back inside a jam-packed Mandalay Bay Convention Center. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Now joining us is a man that is a finalist for the Defensive Player of the Year. This dude, each and every year, just keeps on getting better and better and better. I don't even know what the ceiling could possibly be for this guy because he's just an absolute dog. And that is Max Crosby on behalf of the Las Vegas Raiders via Invisalign. Max, great to see you in person. How you been?
Absolutely. I appreciate the introduction. Means the world, man. I'm doing great. Everything's great.
I appreciate a lot about your story. Something, though, that really stands out is just the love that you have for the Raiders organization. Like, we know there's been a lot through the years, and
yep,
a lot of people could have taken the easy way out and said, I'm out, I'm gone, you know, I'm not going to be a part of this. Why do you just have so much love for the Raiders organization?
Honestly, it just, you know, they were the only team to take a chance on me. And at the end of the day, I feel like I was born to be a Raider. I mean, I don't even, being in another jersey or color doesn't even register in my brain. It doesn't even sound like a thing. I feel like since day one, I was meant to be here and be a part of the reason why we change this thing around. So, you know, I talk passionately about winning and what, you know, I feel like is best for the team. You know, obviously I'm not the final say, but I put my body on the line and played through a lot to be, you know, help this team win in every single way. And I show them, listen, I'm getting better every single year, regardless of what's thrown at me. And that's what I want everyone thinking like. So, you know, I've shared my opinions. People have had their, you know, certain concerns and, you know, thoughts on it. But at the end of the day, all my messaging is I want everyone to be thinking on the same level. I want, how are we getting better? Like, you know, you mentioned, like, every single year I'm finding new ways to improve in every single way, in every single category, and finding that 1%. And I want the front office, I don't care if it's the front office to the janitor or the equipment guys, I want everyone to be thinking like that. That's how you win. That's the only, the only way you give yourself a chance to win a Super Bowl. Everybody's got to be in the boat. So AP, he's the Raiders to the core. There's only one coach for the Raiders. I mean, everybody has these big names and everything like that, but there's 31 teams and only one Raider Nation. So I feel like AP is the man for the job, and I stand behind him and I stand behind what I say.
Well, that's when I knew you meant business about AP. Like, clearly, yeah, Antonio Pierce showed that he deserved to get the job. He got the job. But with how much love you have for the organization, to basically say, hey, I may have to think about requesting a trade if you don't hire this guy, speaks how much he's impacted you and how much you've thought of him.
No doubt. And it's not just about me. You know, I'm speaking for the guys. I'm speaking for everyone in that building. Everyone wanted him to come back. So if I got to take some heat and be that guy, that's what being a leader is. You know, standing up for what's right. At the end of the day, all I care about is winning and care about winning. I want Mark Davis to have a damn Super Bowl. To win a Super Bowl. I want him to have success. He's been the owner for 20 years, and, you know, we've only been to the playoffs twice and only once in my 5 years. So I want us to succeed. I want him to succeed. I do it from the greatness of my heart, because when I go to bed at night, I'm not worried about, you know, what people's opinions are, whatever, because I know I'm coming from a good place. All I care about is winning for the Raiders, not anybody else. I don't give a damn about any other team, but I'm not rooting for anyone in the Super Bowl. I don't give a damn about anybody. I care about the Raiders and my guys, and that's all I care. I'll go to the end of the world for my teammates, and they know that, and I'll play through anything if I can do it to be out there on the field and help us win. So I care about the nation, and there's only one nation, so that's it.
What an answer. Max Crosby here with us. Quarterback is always such a big thing, right? We know Derek hasn't been with the team now for a year in New Orleans. I think they're going to make a move this offseason, whether it's in the draft, a trade, free agency. When you kind of go into this offseason, you don't know who your quarterback's going to be. I know you can only focus on what you could focus on the defensive side of the ball, but how challenging is that?
I mean, just being real, like, the quarterback's the most important position in football. There's only 32 of them in the world that start. It's a very rare and tough position to play. And people, you know, try to skip over this, but, like, Aiden O'Connell, you got to – at the end of the day, like, he was our guy. He stepped in. He helped us win a lot of games. And, you know, there's growing pains. Being a rookie is hard enough. Being thrown in the middle of the season when everyone's starting to figure out who they are as teams, it makes it even more difficult. And the fact that he didn't blink, you know, we go to play the Vikings, we score 0 points, he's getting murdered on line, everybody. turnaround in 4 days, we go out there and set the record for most points scored. That's just a testament to not only him, but the guys in this locker room. So quarterback's the hardest position to hit on. Everyone thinks they know who's the next this guy or the next Joe Montana, the Tom Brady, but nobody really knows until they get out in the field. Everything matters, from your coach to the system and all that. So I feel like at the end of the day, you know, we're going to, you know, they're going to have to fight that out. We're going to probably bring in two quarterbacks. Aiden, you know, is going to have a chance to fight for that spot. And, you know, he's started more games than anybody who's come in. And if we bring in a vet, then, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, there's, I don't know what other vets are out there right now.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, like a Kirk.
Russell Wilson's going to be available. Yeah, that's clear.
Potentially. But, like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, Aiden has started for the Raiders. You know what I mean? So I know Aiden's not scared of competition. He understands the situation. I got the
ultimate
respect for him.
Can he be a franchise quarterback, in your opinion?
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's nobody thought I would be where I'm at after my rookie year. You know, realistically, nobody expected me to be here. I believe in Aiden 100%. I believe in, you know, what this team, you know, moving forward with AP and what we have now in Telesco, like, we're going to make the right decisions and best decisions for the team going forward.
Do you feel like you still get disrespected a little bit? Like, everyone knows you're a great player, but when they talk about the great pass rushers, I feel like everyone throws Myles Garrett up there, you know, T.J. Watt up there, Micah Parsons up there, and then eventually people say Max Crosby, but I feel like you should be a little bit higher up that list.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why it's like that, but yes, I take, you know, I hear, see everything, and I let it motivate me. You know, for me, I don't do it for the ones that doubt me. I've been doubted my whole life. I do it for the ones that believe in me, my tight end circle, the people that know what I do on a daily basis. So that's how I operate. And, you know, I tell this to my brother all the time. We had this conversation recently, but, you know, it took everybody in the NBA to recognize Nikola Jokic as the best player after 8 seasons. He was doing it, putting up the stats, doing it every single year. Nobody could guard him. He was most complete at what he did. Nobody was doing what he was doing, but they didn't really give him his respect till year 8 when he wins the MVP, wins the NBA Finals, and they're like, oh, he's the best player in the world. But they're like, look what he's been doing the last 8 years. I mean, it's undeniable. So for me, I know what I'm doing. I trust my work, and I trust the process, and I'm willing to run the marathon longer than anybody. That's why I play more snaps. That's why I put my body on the line, because I know in the end, if you put in the work, the results will follow. So I live by that every single day, and it's not just the, you know, playing on Sundays. It's the routine. It's 365 for me. We played the Broncos week 18. I was up early, rehabbing, meal prepping still every single day. It doesn't stop for me. So, you know, people are going to have their opinions, but in the end, I feel like we're going to look back and I'm going to be noticed as one of the greatest to do it.
You know, I get what we do is we have conversations. We give opinions. We have fun. Max Crosby's here with us, but this conversation with Brock Purdy, I'm just tired of it the last 2 weeks. Like, you think he's a system quarterback, a game manager, a good quarterback? I don't care. The dude's winning games right now, and that's all that matters in this league.
100%. I mean, everybody, like, it's the same thing. You got to do it over and over and over again just to be considered, you know, one of the best. You know, it's the same. I've dealt with it my whole career. Brock Purdy, you know, he's young. He hasn't played a ton of games, but they're going to try to label you and put you in a box from day one. He's a little white dude from Iowa State who was undrafted. He's the last pick in the draft. He's already going to take heat from the start. They're like, oh, well, he's not as talented. Oh, there's a reason why he went here. And he's proving to everybody every game, okay, he doesn't have to say nothing. All he has to do, all that matters is the film. And that dude, if without him, they wouldn't have won that game versus the Lions. He was out there doing, making all type of crazy plays, not only throwing the ball but running the ball. Like, it was crazy to see. So a guy like that, I love it because he doesn't let the BS on the outside affect what goes on in the locker room and on the field. So, I mean, they'll always try to put you in the box. They said I was a pass rushing, all I could do is a situational pass rusher and a special teamer. I'm like, all right, so watch this. So that's, you know, I got a ton of respect for Purdy.
Tell me what you're doing on Invisalign with Invisalign today.
Invisalign, yeah. So, you know, they came to me with a great opportunity. They got over 400 guys in the NFL right now currently. I didn't have braces growing up or anything like that, so I was like, might as well get the smile a little bit better.
Yeah. Teeth look good?
No, teeth, yeah, you know, I appreciate that.
I'm not just saying that because I know you kicked the crap out of me.
No, I appreciate it, man. I just started.
I don't want to instigate you like Mahomes, all right?
Yeah, no, we don't have to do that. But yeah, no, Invisalign's been incredible. I'm wearing them right now, and it's been, you know, it's been a good journey so far.
One more thing that I want to ask you.
Yeah.
People are going to doubt the Raiders. People are going to say they can't get it done. Max is crazy. Davante Adams is crazy. Why are you guys going to get this thing right?
I mean, I totally understand all the they're going to doubt until we do it. We haven't done it. It's simple as that. You can have individual success, but team success in the end is what solidifies your legacy. You know what I mean? That's what matters the most to me. At the end of the day, like, I know I'm going to keep getting better because of what I do on a daily basis. I know I'm going to keep getting better as an individual, but at the end of the day, I want a Super Bowl, and not just one, two, three, whatever that is. I want to be able to be in those games consistently, and until we do it, we're going to be doubted, and that's simple. And we're the Raiders, you know, so that comes with some extra baggage, so it's part of the game, and you know, I'm embracing it fully.
All right, last thing, Max Crosby here on Invisalign. This is the multi-million dollar question of the week. It's all Taylor Swift. It's all Travis Kelce. Do you think they will eventually one day get engaged?
That's none of my business. That's none of my business. But
some people are going to assume that's a no then on your part.
I don't know. You know, I can't speak for Travis and Taylor, but I wish them the best, no doubt.
You got it. Max, great to see you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
There he is. That's Max Crosby joining us on Radio Row inside the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And that Raiders team, you know, I just can't wait to see where they are in the next 2 years, because Josh McDaniels, when he was the head coach of the Raiders, you know, some guys are just good offensive coordinators and they're miserable head coaches. That's what we've seen now with McDaniels in two instances with not only the Denver Broncos, but also now the Las Vegas Raiders. But they were able to just get the right voice in there in Antonio Pierce, and look what it kind of turned into. You have people now that wanted to be a part of this organization, and Max Crosby, in Devontae Adams, that now they want to stay. And now they want to be a part of this. But forget the rest of the AFC. Just look at the division right now. It's Kansas City is all the way up here, and everyone else is chasing the Kansas City Chiefs. The Broncos don't have their act together. I think the Chargers now start to have their act together when you have Jim Harbaugh, when you have Justin Herbert. But I'm really most excited to see the Raiders, because it's just a great unknown. There's a lot of ambiguity with the Las Vegas Raiders. Like, we talked to Max. Max is sensational. Max is one of the better players, not only on the defensive side of the ball, but one of the better players, period, in the league. So you have him. You have Devontae Adams. I don't know what's going to happen with the status of Josh Jacobs, as he's going to enter free agency in all likelihood. But you need a quarterback. And this is a team right now that's sitting there with the 13th overall pick. You could start the speculation, since Antonio Pierce was at Arizona State, that maybe they try to find a way to trade up and go get Jaden Daniels. Like, is that what's going to happen? I don't know. And I don't believe the Bears are moving off the pick. I don't believe the Commanders are moving off the pick. Maybe the Patriots, but I still think they're going to take a quarterback, because the Patriots are looking to splash. I think it would behoove the New England Patriots to end up taking maybe a Marvin Harrison Jr., and you could wait on that quarterback, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't. So, like, in all likelihood, you put a gun to my head right now, quarterback, 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 1, 2, 3, that's what I think is going to happen in the NFL draft. So then you have a team at 12 or 13 with the Raiders, and it's like, okay, who are you going to get there? Is Michael Penix Jr. the 13th overall pick in this draft? Is it a J.J. McCarthy? Is it Bo Nix? I don't think those guys are going that early. I don't. So you may have to look at the veteran realm, and I get what Max just said about Aiden O'Connell. Sometimes guys exceed expectations and they end up being a star when they weren't expected to be a star. I'm going to politely disagree with Max, and I'm just going to say I don't think he's going to be the franchise quarterback with the Raiders. But then who are you bringing in next year? Could you get a Kirk Cousins? Is Russell Wilson, that would be a fun storyline, going to go from the Broncos to the Raiders? You know what? Justin Fields. If the Raiders go get Justin Fields, you put Justin Fields, you bring back Josh Jacobs, you have Devontae Adams, and you have Crosby on the defensive side of the ball, that may be their best option. But you need a quarterback, and this happens every year, and it's, are there enough quarterbacks available? And most times, the answer is no. And you could carry in the momentum from a positive voice in Antonio Pierce. Ultimately, in this league, it's tough to get to where you need to get to and be looked at as a serious football team if you don't have a quarterback. Like, look at the Niners. They've been close. They've been really close. And the Niners have a much better roster, you know, obviously, than the Las Vegas Raiders. And even then, them not having a quarterback has made them come up short. And maybe Brock Purdy is different this year, and maybe Brock Purdy's going to get the job done coming up on Sunday. But this Raiders team, they need a quarterback. And sometimes when you need a quarterback, you pounce right away, and you end up making the wrong decision. So when you select and you make that move, you better find a way to get the right quarterback. Because if you don't, we've seen it fail many head coaches before. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Awesome, awesome show so far. If you want to see any of these interviews live in person, you could go to youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Justin Jefferson, I love talking to Justin Jefferson. He joined us earlier. Roma Dunze, Mark Ingram. We were just joined, obviously, by Max Crosby. And coming up in a few minutes from now, I'm really excited to talk to my next guest because I want to know what the hell just happened in Philadelphia this past year. They were 10-1. 10-1. They won one game down the stretch, and they were on the outside, or they made the playoffs, and they quickly got bounced from the postseason. And they just had no life, no juice up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They went from Super Bowl favorite, potential Super Bowl champion, to being a team come postseason time. I didn't even pick them to win. I didn't pick them to win up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll try to get some answers from a phenomenal defensive lineman, longtime NFL defensive lineman, longtime Eagle, and that's Fletcher Cox, who's going to join us coming up in 5 minutes. Still to join us on the show after Fletcher Cox, we'll chat it up with Sean Alexander. Little Dickie will stop by, and also Cowboys running back Tony Pollard. But let's take a timeout for Mandalay Bay. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, inside Radio Row, and we're coming on back momentarily.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
Back here on Radio Row inside the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. Now joining us, man, this dude's just unbelievable for the Philadelphia Eagles, star defensive lineman. And I'll tell you, when I covered the Eagles for a year or two, and they did bring me in, and obviously they won a Super Bowl, so you could probably thank me for it, even though I did grow up as a Patriot fan. Anytime this guy would hold court in the locker room, it was always a show. It was always something. And you were right next to Chris Long in the locker, Brandon Graham as well, Jason Kelsey. Always learned a lot of stuff there.
Joining us
on behalf of Tide, of course, is Fletcher Cox. Fletcher, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So here's why I like Tide, and here's why I like Philadelphia, too. I attend to Temple. I lived there for 7 years. I went through college in 4 and then stayed 3 years afterwards and did some local radio there. But Philadelphia respects the big fellas, like, and Tide does as well. Milata, Kelsey, you got to show some respect to the big fellas.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, doing that commercial with Tide early in the season, right before camp, with three big dudes, I mean, especially being under a pile of laundry, which, you know, everybody know that obviously, you know, it was for Tide, and, you know, there was a lot of work going into it, and, you know, I had a chance to partner with him, you know, and, you know, obviously, you know, it was a great thing, and we're still continuing with that. So it's been a lot of fun.
Are you playing next year? You plan to play, I'm assuming?
Man, dang, we're going straight off the rip, right? We're going straight for the guts.
Well, so one of my best friends is an Eagles fan.
Oh, and go Birds. That's all I can tell you.
He wasn't all that happy going into the playoff game, but he kind of felt, he goes, man, Brandon Graham's getting up there in age. You know, Fletcher Cox has been here forever. You got Jason Kelsey. There's all this retirement speculation. I'm just wondering if you're going to play next year.
Let's just keep it all speculations, and we're just going to leave it at that, all right? It's just all everything is speculation these days. So, that's nothing I've thought about. You know, there's nothing that's crossed my mind. So I'm just, you know, just taking this time to myself and just reflect back on, you know, number one, making sure physically, you know, I'm good, and mentally, you know, that's the biggest part about it. You know, make sure I'm mentally good to go. So, you know, like I said, let's keep it all speculations, and you know, we'll see where we head to.
Well, you guys are warriors, right? And sometimes the way that athletes are covered, it's fair, it's unfair. But I do think what you brought up, the mental health side, is big. Like, what do you do in the off season to kind of decompress? And I know you got to focus on football, but kind of get away from football and kind of clear your mind.
I go to my happy place. You know, my happy place is obviously my I got a big ranch in North Texas. So then that's my happy place where, you know, I just forget about everything, right? I just forget about ball, forget about, you know, a schedule that, you know, that I got to stick by, you know, I kind of get out of my routine things, You know, obviously, and during the season, you have those routine things that you do daily, you know, in and out. So I kind of get out of that schedule and just get into a totally different world. And that's definitely, you know, has helped me a lot in these last, you know, 6 years that I've owned the place.
So if I came over to the ranch in Texas, what are we eating? What's for dinner? What are you cooking up? What are you serving?
Oh, yeah, we only serve beef there.
That's my type of place.
Yeah, we eat steaks every night, burgers, whatever you want. You know, we may throw, you know,
a salad in there.
Oh, I mean, that's your choice. If you want that, that's your choice. You know, you get a salad. But I tell you what, the big man ain't eating no salad. I'm, you know, just give me some beef and taters and I'm good.
That's unbelievable. Fletcher Cox is here with us. Well, what's the lasting memory for you from the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 52?
Oh, man, the lasting memory for me was, you know, obviously it was probably the biggest play of the game. You know, defense, you know, obviously, you know, if you go in and if a lot of people, if there was a mic on me, and I tell this story over and over, if there was a mic on me, you know, when I, you know, had this conversation on the sideline with BG about, you know, hey man, like, you know, I'm gonna go to the right, which I normally don't play the right side of the defense. I said, you go to the left. And I said, they're going to slide to me. I need you to win a one-on-one. And he said, okay, I got you. And that's all I needed, you know, from him. There was no reassurance. Like, man, should I not trust him to go over there? Which, you know, he was going against a really good player, Shaq Mason.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, BG, I said, man, listen, if I go to the right, they're probably going to slide the protection to me and, you know, in a passing situation, so I need you to go win it. And, you know, he answered that bell, and, you know, Derek got it, and, you know, it was good. And, you know, there was a lot of special moments in that game.
It's the biggest play in Eagles history, and I know some people will say it's the Philly special, but that game was an offensive shootout, but ultimately defense wins championships, and that was the biggest play of the game to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, I talked to, you know, Matty P about that game. He was like, hey, look, you know, I was like, you know, we were both, you know, me and Matt, you know, we've become like really close over this past season. And, you know, we still talk about that thing and about that game. And, you know, our biggest conversation, hey, look, you know, both defenses gave up 500 yards, you know, of offense. And, you know, the defense that got the last turnover is the one that won the game. And you know, you got to believe in that. And, you know, I got a lot of respect for, you know, for Matty P.
Talking to Fletcher Cox right now. So from afar, you guys start out 10-1. You're humming. I know that some people are like, oh, they're sloppy victories. Doesn't matter. You guys were 10-1 coming off a Super Bowl loss. You got off to a really good start, and then down the stretch, you know, you only won one game. From afar, it feels like there were problems in that locker room. What was the truth on why you guys couldn't find a way to get the ship back moved in the right direction down the stretch?
I mean, if you really go back and look at us, you know, early in the season when, you know, when we were, you know, winning games, you know, if you go back and look at every game, we willed our way to win all of those games.
Yeah.
You know, I think the only game where
I was at the Bills game
where we completely like dominated was when we played Miami. You know, where we dominated a team, right? You know, you got to look at it, we went in overtime with the Commanders. You know, we were close game with Dallas. You know, we willed our way to a lot of those wins. And, you know, that's what good football teams do. You know, and down the stretch, you know, it's just one of them things where, you know, you can't put your hand on what happened. You know, obviously, but, you know, it sucks the way that it ended. You know, I feel, you know, that, you know, I feel like as a team that, you know, and as a player, we probably could have done better. And, you know, obviously, you know, we went in the first round of playoffs and, you know, got eliminated. And that's not something that you want to do for a team that started 10-1. So, I mean, as a player and, you know, you learn from those mistakes and you really try to put your own finger on what went wrong.
Everyone's going to talk about Nick Sirianni. I think we've spent a month talking about Nick Sirianni. I know you have defended him. You just tell me why Nick Sirianni is the right coach for this team moving forward.
Now, he's the guy. You know, there's no question about it. I think he's the guy. And this year and going forward, you know, the guy, I mean, coach, you know, Nick has, you know, took the organization to, you know, 3 playoff appearances, 1 Super Bowl appearance in his few years there. And, you know, everybody, every great team, and I said all the time, every great team go through, you know, faces adversity. You know, some teams respond, some don't. And that's the biggest thing. And no matter how good you are, you're going to go through that adversity. You know, I just take, for example, you know, I take for, you know, the 49ers, you know, they lost 3 in a row in the regular season. And, you know, they're a really good team. I respect that team, right?
Yeah.
And they're a really good team, and they went through that adversity, but they dug their way out of it.
Does it annoy you when Debo says that the Eagles and 49ers isn't a rivalry because you guys couldn't keep it close this year?
You know, I respect Debo, you know.
Yeah, and, he doesn't like me. He hung up the phone on me this offseason.
So, you know, I respect Debo. And, you know, you can definitely voice your opinion on anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish him luck. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a great player. And, you know, he got a chance to play in this league for a long time.
Who wins the game on Sunday?
mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
It don't matter. It don't affect me, you know. But the biggest thing is
you just want to see Jason Kelce ripping his shirt off, I'm assuming.
Man, I just, you know, I'm really rooting for my Mississippi State guys. You know, All the guys from Mississippi, you know, like Chris Jones and Willie Gay and you know, those guys that represent our state. In the Super Bowl. So you got to pull for your home state guys.
Tell me what you're doing today on behalf of Tide.
Just on behalf of Tide, man, just tackling every pod, on and off the field, baby. You already know. If I trust him, you should too.
All right, and here's the last thing I got to ask you. It's our biggest question of the week. Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, are they going to eventually get engaged?
Oh, that sounds like a dumb problem. That ain't a me problem.
So you're like a maybe. You're like a maybe.
I like Travis. I respect him. You know.
Yeah.
I think that he's found a love life, and you know that eventually, you know, he'll probably feel the pressure and get it done. You know.
Well, he's focused probably on another ring, and that's what that he could win on Sunday. Fletcher Cox, great to see you. Thanks so much for doing this.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
There he is, Fletcher Cox, joining us on Radio Row, and we try to get some clarity on what happened with the Eagles. Still, clearly, he believes in Nick Sirianni, and it made it seem like it was more of a player and coordinator issue this past year. Before we take a break, and Sean Alexander is going to join us live on set coming up in about 8 to 10 minutes from now. Samter, I got to use your producing mind here for a second. So I'm going to show you a picture right now, because I said something to you earlier today. I go, who the heck is this guy doing so many interviews? And he looked familiar, but I just couldn't put a face to a name. Like, I could not come up with a name. So this is Rob Gronkowski. Phil Perry just tweeted this out. That's Rob Gronkowski in the NFL Network set. Do you have any idea who this person is to the left of him?
No.
I could zoom in for
no,
for
I saw him walking second. Around. I thought the same thing, and I wasn't able to put
so
a face to
the name. So many people were talking to him, and I go, who the heck is this? And like,
I also thought to myself, he looks familiar.
What do you think he does? If you had to take a guess, what do you think he does?
Actor.
He's not an actor. He's a football player.
Huh?
A very well-known football player that we have talked about a lot that is getting set to enter the NFL draft. Do you have any idea who that is? I was shocked. When sometimes you see someone without a helmet on, without shoulder pads on, you see him in person, you go, that doesn't look like the dude. The intimidating force that I saw on the football field this year.
Well, okay, so intimidating force, then no, I was going to say like Drake May or something.
No. Not a quarterback. That is Brock Bowers.
Wow.
How the heck is that Brock Bowers? I know he's standing next to Gronk, but Gronk has cut a lot of weight. But that...
He does. I mean, listen, he looks like he's in good shape, but he doesn't look buff by any means.
Phil Perry, Rob Gronkowski is hanging with the top tight end in this year's draft class. It's Brock Bowers. I'm not kidding. If you would have asked me what this guy does for a living, I would have thought he's just a jacked UPS driver.
That's interesting.
I thought he was a jacked UPS driver.
He looks like a jacked everyday person, but not a football player. But listen, we saw Patrick Mahomes' dad bod. So if Patrick Mahomes could look like that, then Brock Bowers can certainly be that.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Sean Alexander going to stop by momentarily. We'll come on back from Las Vegas.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
So we're inside the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And if you're not watching us on YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio, my back is turned to everybody else. So I have no clue who is walking behind me. And I just feel as if someone's going to like pop up one day and just kind of like put me in a noogie or something like that. Oh, there he is. Oh, is that Sully? My guy Sully is here. Let me tell you, the Las Vegas Golden Knights game last night, Sully, he's the Don of Las Vegas. And everyone walking around, oh, you know Sully? You know Sully? You know Sully? The guy that founded Metallica last night sitting next to me at the hockey game. First thing he says to me, oh, nice VG gear that you're wearing. You know Sully? And I go, of course I know Sully. Everyone knows Sully around here. We're going out to dinner tonight with Sully. And I'm telling you, Sully's mad at me. Because I said Sully's favorite restaurant last week is Denk. I just said it's Denk. Denk to me means good. You know, sorry I'm young. Sorry I am, I don't want to say hip into it. What's the word that I'm looking for here, Samter? What's the word that I'm looking for? Let's get Samter's mic on here.
Crunk?
No, that's not the word. But I'm just telling you, It's just like one of those words, dank. If I say dank, it means good. And Sully thought that meant bad. And he got all mad at me and all caught up in his feelings. But it's fine. We'll eat some good Italian food tonight. We're going to have Sean Alexander join us momentarily. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Little Dicky is going to stop by coming up at the top of the hour. We'll also have Tony Pollard on set as well, coming up in a little bit, in about 40 minutes or so, right here on CBS Sports Radio, as this place is just an absolute zoo. CJ Stroud is going to join us tomorrow on the show, and I'm looking really forward to that conversation with CJ Stroud of the Houston Texans. And, you know, we got a chance to talk to Roma Dunze today, and you've seen how people are thinking about him. Justin Jefferson stopped by, right? Jefferson tells us 4 years ago when we had him on, he told us he was going to be the best wide receiver in the NFL, and look at that. So it's cool when you sometimes get to know these guys a little bit younger and you see what they turn up developing and turning out to in the NFL. But I was really impressed with Roma Dunze. And a year ago, no one would have been thinking that C.J. Stroud would have been one of the better quarterbacks in the league. But there is no doubt about it with what he has done. I think he's the fifth best quarterback in football entering this season. And that is some big time, high time praise. But that's just how sensational C.J. Stroud was in his rookie year. And look who's joining us right now. My guy, Sean Alexander, the former NFL MVP. He should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And let's just do this right out of the gate as Sean Alexander joins us. Stand Together Foundation and Cafe Momentum. The floor is yours right out of the gate, because I know what happens. When we talk, eventually the music's going to come on up. They're going to be like, get them off the stage or take care of what you got to take care of first.
Yeah, so of course I'm here to tell the great news of what's happening with Stand Together Foundation and Cafe Momentum. Stand Together Foundation is about 800 of some of the most successful businessmen and women and philanthropic leaders in the country. They've put their money together and their think tanks and business people together to help some of the greatest foundations do some great things. And we call it tackling some of the country's biggest issues. And one of them is juvenile justice system. And Cafe Momentum is basically a restaurant that takes kids that are juveniles that are in the instead of them going to juvie, they're actually making them come and volunteer and actually a paid internship at their restaurant. And we started in Dallas, and we've seen kids go from, you know, I think recidivism is at 45% in our country. And with the Cafe Momentums, it's at 11%. And I told Chad, I said, Chad, we could put one of these in every NFL city. And so these kids are going through a year internship, and we're seeing the as I call it, the social work psychologists. We call them the aunties, the uncles, the big brothers that they need in their lives. And we're just seeing these kids succeed. They're actually gaining a true identity and learning who they really could be. And they're not going back to prison at the rate that it is. And so now we have one in Nashville, one in Pittsburgh. We're about to open Denver. We're about to open Atlanta. We've got the ground set for Houston, Miami, and Tampa, and it's just exciting.
Sean Alexander here with us. I know we talked throughout the year. How many kids do you have now, by the way?
We just had, in July, number 13.
13?
Yeah, 10 girls, 3 boys. It's pretty exciting to be around the house. And
so the
and
youngest
watch
is a newborn. How old is the oldest
Yeah,
child?
Our youngest is Judea. Judea is now 7 months.
Wow, and mm-hmm. The oldest is...
Heaven is our oldest, and she is a sophomore at Liberty. She is 20 years old.
Wow, that's 13 children.
Yep.
Thanksgiving's must be fun in your house.
It is so live every single day. And watching my second oldest, Trinity, she actually runs track at Liberty now.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's a freshman. And then Eden, who we love to brag about, she's a junior in high school, but she was a high school All-American in track.
Oh.
Them girls got wills, and then the boys come. So it's three girls
where they
first.
Got it
yeah,
from.
Yeah. Their mama. They got it from their mom. You know, I know she's fast. Took me forever to catch her. You know?
Talking to Sean Alexander right now. So it's weird. Every time I see you, and you know I love talking to you. I'm pissed though.
Yeah.
Because I look around, and I've been saying this now for the last 2 years. You should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame every year. The stinking results come out. There's not even a mention of you. You didn't play long enough. But you had 100 career touchdowns, you won an MVP, and you played in a damn Super Bowl. What is there to say anymore at this point? Because it honestly annoys me that you don't even get a sniff.
It's wild because the whole idea of not playing enough actually should validate that I should get in. Huh?
Yeah.
So, you know, I just kind of watch everything. I try not to make it too big of a thing. But, you know, I just came from Mobile, Alabama, where they had the Senior Bowl, 70th anniversary, the all-time team. And the running backs are Curtis Martin, LaDainian, Thurman Thomas, and me. And we're all hanging out there, and they're all talking this and that, and they're all like, how are you not in the Hall of Fame? Like,
right?
You know, like at one time, they get in there, you have to be the best player. And they're like, shoot, you was for like 2 or 3 years. And LaDainian's like, yeah, he definitely was, you know? And you have to go out there and do something special. And I did. And I feel like some of it is kind of like how football's gone today. On one end, I had a great offensive line. You know what I mean? I had Walter Jones and Steve Hutchinson on my left side, and they are Hall of Famers. And sometimes it seems like, well, anybody can rent to that. And I'm always like, yeah, but if you're the number one.
You could have played anywhere.
Yeah, I could have. But if you're
I'm not diminishing the offensive linemen.
No.
It's the most important thing for a running back, for a yep. quarterback. You had great offensive linemen, but you could have gone anywhere and had a great career.
I think so. And I think that it's one of those things, like, people forget that I was the number one high school player. When they were talking about five stars and this, I was the number one in high school. And then I shattered all the Bama records. So when I got to the pros in Seattle, I was like, oh, okay. We're going to do it here, you know. So I was shocked when they were like giving so much credit to not to me, but I've just tried to always keep it humble. But I feel like some of it is, in Seattle, our coaches made it a point to make sure that it was Mike Holmgren, the passing system, yada yada yada. And I think some of it was twofold, to help it make them not have to pay me a lot as a running back, and also because Mike was a passing guy. You know, he had Joe Montana, then Steve Young, then Brett Favre in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So when he gets to Seattle, it's like, man, the best thing for us is probably to run the ball. But that's not how you like to talk. And I feel like that's the curve that's going on with today now. Running backs are not used a lot because they're always trying to throw it. And I feel like it's because coaches get paid so much now that they feel like, I got to do something to earn my pay.
And it turns into a nasty conversation, Sean Alexander, because Tiki Barber works right next to us.
Yeah.
And I see Tiki every day. We get in the office at the same time.
Yep.
We leave at the same time. And he was a semifinalist this year for the Hall of Fame and didn't get down to being a finalist. And I looked at him and I go, congratulations. And I go, but what about Sean Alexander? And he goes, he should be right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, nothing against Tiki, right? My producer, Mike, he worked with Tiki for 10 years. He'll make the case for Tiki.
Yeah.
I said to Tiki, I go, it's weird because I love you, Tiki, but I almost have to talk down about you to kind of prop up Sean. And that shouldn't be the case because you should both be Hall of Famers.
Right. And it gets weird when you have those conversations. And I feel like when I'm around all the other greats, like, they forget that I'm not.
Yeah,
because in their mind, I am.
Jerry Kramer, who eventually got in, the legendary Packers offensive lineman, would say the commissioner thought I was a Hall of Famer. John Hanna thought I was a Hall of Famer. That's the weird part when the guy running the league or the guys that are legendary players in the league are so surprised. And that's what it makes me mad. It makes me annoyed because no one even talks about it with you.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying this because I like you and we're friendly, but 100 touchdowns and you didn't play long enough.
Yeah, I mean, It should validate. Well, you know, one of my good friends is from Detroit, from Michigan, and I always say, he always talks about their greatest running back, and we always crack jokes because we're like, yeah, hey, that guy was amazing, but you know what's bigger than 99? 100. And so, of course, we're talking about Barry Sanders, who I like. He was like the goal, like, okay, he had 99 touchdowns. I'm going to try to get 100. And so, like, he was the benchmark. So I would be playing games. Okay, hey, let's go. Let's crank this thing up. So me crossing over the 100 touchdown mark was like a goal set by a person that, you know, is arguably one of the best ever. You know what I mean? But if we were talking, I'd be like, hey, I scored more touchdowns than you. And for somehow that's not deemed as
Drop the mic on that one. Sean Alexander
pretty
here
cool.
with us. So were you more surprised about Pete Carroll basically getting fired from Seattle? I know that they dressed it all up. He has some advisory role. He got fired as the head coach, or Nick Saban retiring.
And on the same day, I had so many people call and ask me, was I all right? You know, because both of those guys took over their jobs when I was retiring. And so, you know, Alabama always had open doors for me, and I only know it because Coach Saban was like, hey, you come in, that you have free reign to talk to the guys. These are your guys, man. Like, you come loving these guys. So walking them, dropping little nuggets, calling guys from Bama, that's how I've been, like, ever since I've retired. And then the same thing with Pete. From Pete coming in, he was like, hey, you know, Sean, you built this facility, you know, man, you come in anytime you want. And so I was so loved by those coaches, and they both were championship coaches, and they did it right. Both of their styles were totally different.
Yeah.
But I really loved what they both did for the programs that I played at.
You're right. It was the same that we start the show. First 2 hours was Pete Carroll, Pete Carroll, Pete Carroll. And then at 5 o'clock, Mike gets in my ear. He goes, we have breaking news. I go, what's the breaking news? And it was Nick Saban. I was like,
crazy.
Because he's a young 72, yeah, 70, however old he is. I understand NIL transfer portal. It's all different. I never even thought that was a possibility.
You know what? We were talking about, we knew that it was a possibility. Some of the people down the backside, we just didn't think he would pull the trigger. And like literally when he made that decision, it was literally like that day he decided.
Well, he was working, right?
Yeah.
That day. And then he just said, I'm it. I'm out.
They were calling some coaches that I know and talking about coming in and working for them up under him, you know?
Wow.
And then, you know, I'm over here talking to some friends of mine. They're like, yeah, I'm thinking about coming down there and taking the blah, blah, blah position at Alabama. And I'm going to interview for it. And then he drops that. So he was working as if he was going to be back up until that moment.
That means he knew he had to. But yeah. It's tough to want to walk away from that. What's your thought on the game? Who are you leaning towards? I'm trying to find someone that's going to take the 49ers. This week, everyone's going Kansas City, at least the people we talk to here. I know people in the gambling world are going to tell me things otherwise.
Yeah, you know, I usually vote with my heart, and it never is right. And so, I've been telling people, like, Christian was a freshman at Stanford, mm-hmm. and his running back coach was Lance Taylor, who's now the head football coach at Western Michigan. He calls me up. Lance was a freshman at Bama when I was a senior. He calls me up and says, bro, we got a kid here. I was like, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, man, love for you to text me messages to him. So I've been sending him messages and talking to him since he was a freshman. So that would be hard. And then I got a relationship with a handful of the other guys, all for the 49ers. So like, my heart wants to be like, come on, 49ers, let's go do it.
But I know what you're going to say. I can finish your sentence.
You don't want to go against that 15. Defense. You don't want to go against Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. My boys, they're 14, 12, and 8. So I only have three. So, you know, I'm 10 girls, 3 boys.
Yeah.
They're like, Pachinko, man, that dad, he's
angry
a beast.
Runner.
Yeah, they're like, he's the mad animal, dad. Don't go against him. So I just don't want to say the 49ers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, so I want to, but I just can't because I can't go against that. Everything says, like, man, them Chiefs are going to do it.
I think I have to run on the field on Sunday and just have a sign, Sean Alexander should get into the Hall of Fame.
Don't get tackled, man.
Maybe get – well, I don't have the moves like you
yeah.
did, but maybe just get this campaign off the ground and running because, once again, it's a joke.
Yeah, no, it's going to be good, man. I'm actually going to go to the game for the first time since
awesome.
The Seahawks – didn't run the ball into one. That's when
and the ref
time.
Screwed you. Sorry. You got to run. Anyway, he is Sean Alexander.
Bless
Sean,
you, brother.
Always great to see you. We're coming on back from Radio Row after these short messages. Little Dickie's going to stop by coming up 5 minutes from now.